Please take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Let's begin reading the Word of God in verse 1. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," talking about pressing upon Jesus, "to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught," or for a catch. "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were at the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Then Simon Peter saw it. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for the Word of God and for stories like this that can teach us lessons about you. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for giving us the instructions that we need in responding to you. I do pray, Lord, that we would give attention to your holy, perfect Word of God. And may we listen and may we give attention to what you have us for us today. Lord, I know that I don't have anything of my own power to share. There's nothing that can benefit. But I know that your word is powerful and it's alive and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So I do pray that your word would speak and that we would listen. Lord, we desire that we would listen to the Spirit of God that is in each of us as believers. And I do pray that we would be sensitive to you speaking to us. And Lord, may we have humble hearts, humble minds before your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice this setting. I would have loved to be there. That Jesus was standing by a lake. It seems like a very surreal, a beautiful setting. I've never been there. Would love to be there. But I would have loved to be where Jesus was preaching. And in our setting, we see the lake. We see the two boats with fishermen washing their nets. And there seemed to be a big enough crowd where the people were pressing up to Jesus so much that Jesus got into Peter's boat. And Jesus asked him to launch out. And Jesus actually preached and taught from that boat. And that a neat, see, I love the setting of like a fishing village and boats. But to be there with Jesus out in the water preaching, well, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I would love that. I mean, whenever Jesus preaches, it's wonderful. But the setting here just stirred my heart with as I was reading this, and Jesus was teaching these people from a boat. And these people were paying attention to what Jesus was saying. And when he was done teaching, this is what I find interesting. He turned to Peter, he turned to the fishermen, and he encouraged them to go back out into the deep and cast their nets. Now, what we see in this passage, that these men had already been working all night. And what happened? Nothing happened, right? They didn't catch anything. And when Jesus told them to go and cast their nets, they knew of the impossibility, right?
Yep.
They knew it. Hey, well, Lord, we've been out there. This just isn't going to happen. We're not going to catch any fish. And so their prior experience, just the very, maybe a few hours ago, had told them that fishing in that area would accomplish nothing. They weren't going to catch anything. And Peter even alludes to that in his response. But things were different now, weren't they? There's something very different in this equation that maybe they discounted. And the fact was that Christ was with them. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Okay. Before their experience, they caught nothing. Now Christ was telling them to do something. And Christ knew exactly what he was doing. Do you ever come to God's word sometimes and you're like, I think I know better, God. And then we go and do our own thing. You ever do that? God, I know your word says this, but hey, Peter could have done that here. And based on his prior experience. And a lot of us have prior experience that maybe teaches us a little too much what to do. But what we see here is Peter actually obeys the Lord and responds to the Lord. Christ knew exactly what he was doing. And Peter could have said, Lord, I know what I'm doing here. I've already been here. You know, we're not going to catch anything. Folks, I think it's important as we begin, as we look at this passage, that we have to be careful not to allow our prior experience of something lead us into unbelief.
Amen.
Peter's prior experience could have led him to disobedience.
Right.
And probably you and I could testify multiple times that we have followed our intuition or our prior experience and maybe gone against what Christ was asking us to do. Have you ever said, maybe God has asked you to do something, maybe given you a ministry, and maybe you've said, well, I could never do this. I could never do this for Christ. And really, we're just letting our own experience dictate what we need to do. And often we go through life doing that. We say things like this: what's the point of sharing the gospel with this person? I've already shared the gospel with them, 100 times. And they just don't respond. And so our prior experience often dictates what we do. And if we're not careful, our prior experience can lead us right into doubt. Maybe you said, I'm not going to listen to that godly counsel of that parent or that pastor or that teacher or even my godly friends because I know how the situation will turn out. Have you ever said something like that? I know how this is going to turn out, so I'm just going to do what I think is best. Folks, that is our prior experience leading us to do something. And Peter could have easily done that. My prior experience, no, we're not going to catch anything here. Maybe you've said, I'm not going to address this issue in a biblical way because I already know what this person's going to say. I'm not going to talk to my husband, or I'm not going to talk to my wife, or I'm not going to talk to my children about this issue because I've already talked to them about this. And I'm not going to do it in a biblical way because I know how they're going to respond. And all of a sudden we become omniscient with a lot of situations, and we let our prior experience lead us right into disobedience and into unbelief. And so we've got to be careful not to allow our experience to speak too loudly, because that can lead us straight into unbelief. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, so I think that's a good something for us to focus on right at the beginning, that Peter had prior experience. And yet Christ was telling him to do something where it just seemed very unreasonable for Peter to be doing. And yet he chose to obey. And he obeyed. And what did he see? What did he end up seeing? He obeyed Christ. Christ told him to do something that seemed very impossible. But what did he see on display? He saw God's power on display. And you read this. This is so fascinating. At the end of verse 6, their nets were breaking. God, it doesn't make sense. I was doing this just a few hours before, but now you told me to do this, and I'm obeying you in faith, and your power is on display.
Right.
Folks, God wants to show us His power,
mm-hmm.
and And oftentimes, we're placed into positions where it just seems impossible. God, why are you asking me to do it? God, why do you have me here? God, why am I in this situation? Why do I have to do this? Why do you want me to obey your word in this particular way? Well, he desires to do the impossible for you. You see in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong or show himself powerful in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. And so he wants to do the impossible for you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are walking with the Lord, he often places us in those impossible situations so that he can show himself powerful. And so we have to be careful not to let our experience lead us to disobedience and unbelief. Maybe God has been working in your heart to do something for him. Maybe God has laid something on your heart and you think, God, that's really impossible. I don't think you could ever use me that way. Maybe you're hesitating about obeying God's word. Oh, if I give this up or if I do this, if I follow Christ, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you have fear of prior experience. Maybe you've been hurt by other believers, or maybe you've been hurt by family members or friends. And maybe God is asking you to take a step of faith and you're like, well, my prior experience is telling me not to do this because I might get hurt. Maybe you have a pattern of not responding to Christ's commands. Maybe you have for years said, nah, I know what you're asking me, God, but I'm not going to do it. I want to share for you, with us today, three proper responses that I believe we see illustrated here to Christ's commands. And I want us to look at these three responses of Peter and how these responses are proper for us today. Folks, you see three distinct responses to Christ's command, and I believe those responses are applicable for us today. The first response that we see in this passage, notice that they were humble before Christ. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, what did he do? He fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and everybody with him was astonished too. And so the first proper response to Christ and to Christ's commands is humility. They were humbled before Christ. You know what I think is interesting here? That these guys were not perfect at all. But Christ used them, and Christ was asking them to do certain things. But they were humble. They fell down before Christ. They recognized how imperfect they were before the mighty, all-knowing God of the universe, the Creator God. They recognized how imperfect they were and sinful. But this God, Jesus, was willing to use them and show himself in this mighty way. And so they were humble before Christ. You know what these people didn't say? You know what Peter didn't say? And James and John, you know what they didn't say? Thank you, Lord. I really deserved that. I really deserved you giving me all those fish so I can really build my business. Hey, do you see that at all? You don't see that kind of response. You don't see him saying, wow, this is going to be great for business, or wow, this is, guys, we probably should have a business meeting and see if we can build some more boats because this is going to be really good for us. And, we really deserve this. We really made the right move. It wasn't all about them. Do you see that?
Yeah.
It was all about, oh, Lord, I am so unworthy to be in the presence of such a powerful, mighty God.
Amen.
And that you would use me. They were struck with the power of God. Folks, has God done anything for you? Has God done special things in your lives? I mean, many of you are just testifying of what God has been doing in your life. Are you struck, though, with how unworthy you are? God, that you would think of me? You know, the songwriter says that I'm a worm, that you would use a worm like me. Are you ever struck that God would use you in a particular ministry? I say that all the time. God, me? I know me. And you know you. And that God would use us? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Or are you proud? Yep. That's me, God. I actually should be in a different position. Oh, but we think that way. We can, in here. It's in our heart. Well, I think I could probably do better. Okay. I really probably should be that teacher. I should be that pastor. I should do that. And we think so highly of ourselves. But that's not the proper response. God doesn't use people who think that they have something great to offer to the Lord. God uses people who are humble and who just respond to Him and His leading and obey Him in faith. So a proper response is humility. Folks, God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. And so we need to be on guard and remain humble. If God's going to do anything great in this ministry, if God is going to do anything great in your life or in your family's life, we need to be on guard to be humble and respond humbly to Christ. God, you want me to do that? I cannot do it on my own. I need you. I just need you to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it. I can't figure it out, but I need you to do it. And what we see here is he bows before the Lord. He says, I'm such a sinful man. And he was astonished. They were astonished at what God was doing. Folks, are you ever astonished at what God is doing? Oh, a lot of times we think, God, why aren't you doing more? You know, why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? Why am I not further along in life? And what we're displaying is a discontented, cocky, arrogant attitude. But God resists that. He wants us to be astonished with Him. And He wants us to be thankful for Him and what He's doing. Thank you, God, for using me. Thank you for allowing me to see you working. Thank you for allowing me to see your power in this situation. Thank you for just giving me the grace to walk through life and be a testimony for you. Folks, a proper response to Christ will always include humility. And the minute we start getting arrogant and cocky and thinking that we've got it all together and God needs to use me and I need to serve God in my way, in my arrogant way, God just resists us. So a proper response, firstly, that we see here is that we need to be humble before Christ. Look at the next point. Not only were they humble, but they forsook all for Christ. They forsook all for Christ. Look at verse 9. For he was astonished, and all they that were with him, at the draught or the catch of the fishes that they had taken in. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, for they were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all. You know, the second step, which is a proper response to Christ, is forsaking all for Him. Being willing to leave everything for Christ. They left their livelihood. They left their families. They left their tradition. And folks, oftentimes we forget about this. They really were leaving behind their religion. And they were following. They were entering into a relationship instead of the religion. They were focusing on a relationship with their Creator. And they were doing that for what reason? Why were they doing that? It was all for Christ. Okay, so what a wonderful response that we see here, that they were willing to forsake all for Christ. Folks, when God asks us to live for Him, the expectation is that we need to have a willingness to forsake everything for Him. That's what He expects of us. And oftentimes we want to hold on to different things. Well, I'm going to have this part of my life sacred and this secular. And that's not what God says. We need to leave all and follow Him. Now, I want to clarify under this point. We need to forsake all for Him. But what I'm not saying is that we need to be looking around at others and saying, I see that new car they got. I don't think he's forsaking everything for Christ. You see what I'm saying? Our heart can be so deceitful. And we get so focused on everybody else's response but our heart is not where it needs to be. And so what I'm not saying under this response, and I don't believe you see this in Scripture, it's not up to us to be looking out and determining, well, are you forsaking everything for Christ? Maybe somebody gets a new house.
No.
Maybe you would want a bigger house, and you say, I don't think they're forsaking Christ. They could have gone with a box to live in. And we get so judgmental. Do you know what I'm saying? We get so judgmental, and instead of us having the right response in this area, we focus on everybody else. Well, I'm doing better than them. Yeah, I'm forsaking Christ, and I'm doing it because I'm doing it better than that person. That's not what we're talking about. A proper response to Christ is that you're willing to leave everything that needs to be forsaken. If there are things in your life that need to be forsaken, as a believer, the proper response is, God, I'm going to get rid of it. Now, we have to clarify this too, because God in His Word does give you certain roles and responsibilities that you need to maintain. And so you can't just say, well, I'm going to leave my wife and I'm not going to take care of my wife and I'm going to divorce her for the Lord. Okay? That's not proper. That's not what we're talking about, forsaking Christ. God has given you and allowed you to have certain roles and responsibilities, and those have to be maintained within the proper balance. But there are things that you know in your life that you probably could forsake that's not beneficial for your walk with Christ. And so, do you really need to work as many hours as you're working? Do you really need to have 6 or 7 cars and maintain all these cars in order to follow Christ? Well, probably not. Okay. Do you really need to have all of the things that you have? Are you focusing maybe on all those things and not focusing on Christ? Well, I think there's so many applications where we can't even give enough illustrations as to what that can mean. But I think it's easy to just sum it up and say, if God has laid something on your heart, if you know there's an area of your life that you haven't forsaken, forsake it. If it's holding you back in your walk with God, be willing to forsake it. And maybe you say, well, no, I'm just doing great in my walk with God. Well, maybe you just need to pray and say, God, are there areas in my life that I'm holding on to that are hindering me and my walk with God? A lot of times folks will say, you know, I just feel like something's holding me back. Have you felt that in your walk with God? I just feel like something's holding me back. Well, talk to God. God, is there anything that I haven't forsaken? Am I holding on to something? And I believe if there is, God will show you through His Word where you're holding on to something that needs to be forsaken. And so, yes, we need to have a proper balance in our life of the roles and responsibilities, but there are things, folks, that God may say, I want you to stop doing that. I want you to stop focusing so much time and effort on this particular thing, and I want you to focus more upon the commands in Scripture. And folks, if God lays that on your heart as you read God's Word, maybe God exposes something in your own heart and maybe in your own life, as a believer, the proper response is, okay, God, I got it. Okay? I got it here, God. I'm spending way too much time and on this particular area, and I'm not focused on You. I'm not obeying Your Word like I need to obey. And folks, when God exposes that, forsake those things. And it may be difficult, but we need to have that willingness to forsake all. And so my encouragement to you, if God has laid on light on your heart an area where you need to forsake, then go to Him and say, God, this is going to be really hard for me to forsake. God, in order to get these things into balance, this is going to be really difficult. Would You give me the grace to do that? And folks, I know that if you take a step of faith and follow Christ and have this proper response of a willingness to forsake all, God's going to give you the grace to do that. And so whatever that is, can I just encourage you to get into God's Word, talk to God, and as He reveals things that you need to forsake, just be willing to do that. And He will give you the grace to do that. What a great example of a good response, secondly, is that they forsook all for Christ. I wonder tonight, or this afternoon, are you willing to forsake all for Christ? I think we'd all raise our hand and say, yeah, okay. But really, when it comes down to it, you know, we have these little things that we hold on to. I just want to encourage you, the proper response is to go to God and say, God, I'm really struggling with this. If you want me to change, if you want me to give this up totally for you, I'm willing to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Point number three, they not only were humble, they forsook all, but look at the end of verse 11. They forsook all and followed Christ. Oh, they were willing to follow Christ. They were willing to obey Christ. Do you think that Peter could have been tempted to say no? You think he could have been tempted? God, I'm not going to do that. Okay. He may have forsaken everything else, but God, I'm not going to necessarily follow you. I'm not going to do that. He could have. Maybe he could have said, you know, Lord, I know you want me to go fishing again, but my experience is telling me different. You're not a fisherman. You're just Christ. You know, he could have thought, folks, we laugh, but we do that. Nah, I'm not going to obey because I know better. And we come to God's word and we're not willing to obey because we think we know better. And what we see here is Peter wasn't like that. He didn't say, no, Lord, I know better than you. He could have obeyed. He actually started out reasoning with his experience, but he said, I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey you. And he followed what Christ was saying, and he was blessed by seeing God's power. Folks, can I ask this question? It may seem super simple for you, but I want you to think about it. Are you a follower of Christ? I know we would raise our hands. Yes, I am. Okay. But what I'm not saying, and what Christ isn't saying, is not this follower mentality like on social media. Like you may follow the banana bread lady on Facebook, okay? You know, where you know, she may say something, you just kind of see what she says. You see what I'm saying? That following Christ is going to be very different than you following the banana bread lady on Facebook, okay? But oftentimes we think that way with Christ. But, you know, I know better, God, so, you know, that's great that you want me to do that, but I'm just going to do my own thing. Folks, we act that way. And we follow God like we follow the banana bread lady on Facebook. And it's very disrespectful to God. It's very unreasonable for us to even follow God. You know, the reality with like the banana bread lady on Facebook, you may know certain things about that person, but do you really know her?
No.
I mean, if she told you to go, you know, share the gospel, you know, her gospel, would you do it? No, of course not. So we're not really followers like Christ wants us to be followers. Christ wants us to know him. He wants us to obey him. And so being a follower of Christ is more of just saying, yeah, I follow him on Facebook. It's I want to be a follower. I want to obey him. I want to know him. I want to live out his word. I want to learn how to love his word. I want to learn how to love others by loving him more. And just being practical and following him and knowing him and being led by him. You see how that's very different? Jesus says to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. You want to be a follower of Christ, the right response is to obey him. Not just kind of see what he says today. Okay, what are you saying today that I need to do? It's not that. It's all about obeying him and having a relationship with him and loving him and serving him. So how do you respond to Christ? How do you respond to Christ when you read something in his word? The proper response, if you're a follower of Christ, is to obey his word and to do what he says. God says, husbands, love your wives. What's the proper response, husbands? Do you know why he has to tell us to love our wives? Because we often don't. And we need to love our wives. Okay? Wives, it's your turn. God says, wives, submit to your husbands. What's the proper response? To submit to your husband, even if he's not loving like he's supposed to be loving. That's hard.
Yeah.
Husbands need to be loving leaders. Wives need to be humbly submitting to their husbands. but also submitting to God by doing that, not just blindly obeying their husband and going and robbing a bank or anything like that. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. But wives need to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. Okay, so are you a follower? If you may say, yeah, I'm a follower of Christ. But then if you're not obeying those commands, you're going against His word. You're going against Him. God says to be kind and to be tender-hearted, to be compassionate and forgiving to one another. Yeah, I'm a follower of Christ. And then somebody comes in our yard. What are you doing in there? Okay, it's not Christ-like, is it? I'm not a follower of Christ when you act that way. Children are told to obey and honor their parents. What's the proper response if you're a follower of Christ? Right? Honor and obey. Even if your parents are imperfect, but the proper response is to obey and honor. Christ says to be thankful in all things. Count it all joy. So what's a follower of Christ going to do? Going to be joyful, right?
Yeah.
Going to be thankful, right? Well, God, in this situation, proper response for what God puts in your life is to just obey Him and to follow Him, even if it's hard. Okay? The Bible says God tells us to not slander. Right?
Yes.
Don't gossip.
Right.
What's the proper response if you're a follower of Christ? Well, you don't understand, Pastor Jake. They did me wrong. And my experience tells me that if I do it the right way and I go and talk to this person, you know, they're just not going to respond right because I'm omniscient and I know how they were going to respond this time. Okay? Right? We do that. But as a follower of Christ, we have to constantly come back to what He says in order to respond the right way and to love Him and to love others properly. So the proper response is to just obey His word, even though our experience is telling us very differently. And what we see is Peter did that. So what we see in Peter and the disciples forsaking all and following Christ is that it's not enough for us to just forsake all. That's a part of following Christ. We can't just forsake everything for Christ, but we need to go beyond that and we need to follow Christ. It's not enough to say, I'm just going to stop doing all this. What we need to do is start doing what Christ said we need to do. So there's many things that we need to leave behind. And we see that the disciples did. They left behind certain things. But there are many things that Christ tells us to do that we need to obey and we need to follow. And so a proper response to your Savior, the one who died for you, is that you do what He says. You do what He commands. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that He died for all. So if you're a believer, He died for you, that they which now live should not henceforth live unto themselves. He died for you. And now that you're alive in Christ, you don't just live for you, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. So a proper response to Christ is that we live for Him. We follow Him. We obey Him. If He says to do something, we need to do it. Folks, He's so worthy, isn't He? He really is. And we are so insignificant and really the least that we can do is to just live for Him. That's what He asks us to do. And yet we think it's such a big, okay, I guess I'm going to live for you. Oh, it's such a bad attitude because we think He owes us something. But He's worthy. And the least we can do is live for Him. So, folks, the disciples weren't perfect. And I hope that you would at least raise your hand and say, I'm not perfect either. Okay? You know, I hope you realize that. But what we see is they weren't perfect, but God used them. And God used them because they were humble. They forsook all. And they followed Christ. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're struggling with something God's asked you to do. God, I don't know, God. I know I need to forsake this. Maybe I need to follow you. Maybe I need to be a little more humble in this area. I don't know. I don't know. But can I just encourage you? Whatever you may be struggling with, the proper response is to be humble, is to not be proud. And go to God and say, God, if you want me to do this, I'm willing to do it. But I'm telling you right off the bat, and God already knows this, I can't do it. And if you would just humble yourself before Him and seek His help, He's going to show Himself powerful.
Amen.
On your behalf. And He's so good.
Amen.
And He can help you. And He can show you how to do what He wants you to do. Mm-hmm. So don't trust your experience. Folks, don't just rely on what you've done or seen in the past. If God is calling you to do something, obey.
Mm-hmm.
Be humble. Your experience will lead you into unbelief. And so do you have circumstances maybe that seem impossible? Mm-hmm. God, I don't know how it's going to work. Have you been responding to Christ? Have you been responding? Are you humble? Have you forsaken all? Are you following Christ by obeying His word? I just would submit to you, if you're responding the right way, just wait. And you'll see His power. And you'll see His strength. Don't be afraid to trust Him. He's worthy of our trust. And He's willing to show Himself strong and powerful on our behalf.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank You for helping us even in our unbelief. Thank You for ministering to my heart in this particular way. Thank You for using insignificant, imperfect sinners like me and sinners like us. And I do pray that if there are areas where we're struggling to respond to You in the right way, I do pray that You would expose that. I do pray that You would help us to be humble before You, help us to be willing to forsake all, and help us, Lord, to follow You with our whole heart. You are worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our trust. And I do pray, Lord, that You would work this in a mighty way this week. Help us not to depend upon our own strength. Help us to depend upon You. And may we respond in the right way. Lord, we love You so much. Thank You for being our God.
Amen.
And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.